Well, the last time the Houston Texans were at Gillette Stadium, there was an air of confidence about them. So what do you think this time, guys?
Well, I don't know about the Patriots, but I'm pretty confident, Fred.
I can see you.
I'm ready to go.
You guys decided to wear your letter jackets?
Hopefully we don't have a terrible show like the Texans did when they wore theirs.
Now, Andy, who did you borrow yours from?
Oh, good one, Fred. Where's yours? Oh, it didn't fit, right?
It's true, it didn't. Anyway, guys, wrapping up with the weekend, we now know the Houston Texans are coming to Gillette Stadium. What do you think about their win over the Bengals? Are you impressed? Or, you know, is this the same Houston Texans that, you know, finished out the season kind of limping?
Yeah, I wasn't sure I could get less impressed with the way Houston was playing, but if I could, I did, because they really didn't do a whole lot of things that were overly impressive against Cincinnati. Defensively, I thought they did a good job of shutting down Cincinnati, but even then, I came away thinking it was more about the Bengals, really, than the Texans. And offensively, we know you play against the Patriots, you're going to have to find a way to get in the end zone. They couldn't do that consistently against Cincinnati. Field goals are going to get you beat.
Yeah, but, you know, I tend to think that Houston kind of got their act together a little bit, because I'm giving credit to the Cincinnati Bengals defense. They have a good defense, you know, probably better than the Patriots defense. And, you know, they still scored 19 points, enough to win, and did what a good defensive team should do to a weak offensive team. They shut them out, didn't even let them get into the end zone.
Yeah, that's kind of the story they were selling before they played the Patriots the first time, that we're winning games. It's ugly against the Lions and Jaguars, but we're winning games. And yes, give them credit. They moved on. I'm big about taking care of business. They moved on. But, you know, Paul's right. When you rush for 140 yards against a physical front, a good Bengals front, your quarterback, your receivers, your passing game needs to find a way to put the ball in the end zone. You can't keep kicking field goals. And on the other side of the ball, I thought they were only okay. I thought Andy Dalton had as much to do with the Bengals' failures as the Texans' defense did. The one thing I will say is J.J. Watt is ridiculous. He is uncontrollable. And I thought even, you know, the first time against the Patriots, he was the one guy that had a lot of energy early. It's, to me, it's about him trying to will that defense to being even more than they are. But other than that, if you're a Texans fan, I think you come away from that kind of going, eh.
Well, that's why I think you guys should be wearing your Letterman jacket, because Matt Schaub does not look like the guy that's going to take on this moment. Remember, he wasn't part of it last year.
Yeah, and there was one thing that really stuck out to me, Fred, and I don't know if you guys agreed, but late in the game, after they stopped Cincinnati and the Bengals turned it over on downs, about 3.5 minutes to go, they needed to get a first down. And I was impressed that Kubiak actually let Schaub throw the ball. They completed the pass on third and five. They get that big first down. That's a huge play. Those are tough plays to complete, but it looked like when you watch Schaub, it was like the weight of the world had been lifted off his shoulders. It was like this sense of relief and almost like, that was a really hard play I just completed. And now that's, am I glad that's behind. It was almost like he wasn't expecting to have that success. And he's like this, I don't know, he just doesn't carry himself. And I know that you guys teased me a little bit about some of my, you know, observations from afar, but I just didn't think he carried himself well. I don't think he carried himself like a winner.
Yeah,
he doesn't wear pressure well. The body language, but it looked like the pressure got to him.
His body language was terrible throughout that game, and the exact opposite of a guy. I keep coming back to J.J. Watt. You know, when you see him, he just exudes, I'm the best player on the field right now. I'm either going to sack you, or I'm going to bat the ball down, or I'm going to tackle. He just has that swagger about him. And I know coaches hate to say swagger, but right. I think sometimes the quarterback needs a swagger. Well, you know, RG3 has a swagger, and people, you know, he comes over, he takes over a team. I think the Texans are dying for Matt Schaub to take over that team.
When you look at that team, Wade Phillips is in charge of that defense. Kubiak is in charge of the offense, right. And a lot of times the coach and or coordinator's influence weighs heavily on the quarterback. Kubiak is not a guy who likes to take chances, and it's reflected
in Schaub.
But at some
point, you're the man. You have to be the man.
Right.
It's your job. You're the leader of this football team, whether you want to be or not, as the quarterback in the NFL.
I think he takes his cues from his head coach.
But he can't. If the cues aren't right, it's his job to know to take a different cue.
Right, right.
And I think there are certain guys, and I'll go back to RG3, who I know he lost this week and was hurt, but to me, he has it. And I know, what's it? That's stupid. It, you know, if you make plays, you have it. I don't think so. I think quarterbacks in particular have to be leaders.
Yeah.
And Schaub lacks that. And whether the coach helps him in that area or hurts him in that area, at the end of the day, he needs to improve in that area if that team's ever going to go further than it is right now.
Right, and to piggyback on your point, and I really agree with you, because I think that what your larger point about Kubiak is, it's almost like he plays not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a lot of tweets. We were going back and forth about this with some of our listeners and fans. And I think it's very evident when you watch them play, it's almost like, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. Let that play that I'm talking about, I'm going to throw the ball on third down. Whereas, you know, 25 teams in the league, no, I can't just run the ball three times and get a first down in that situation. Tom Brady throws the ball routinely late in games. Now, listen, not that he doesn't complete every one of them, but I don't think he looks at them, you know, any differently than this one from the next or the last. He knows that he's going to drop back and complete a pass. And when he doesn't, he's going to be upset about it. But he's not going to have this sense of relief. And I think Kubiak sort of looked at that and said, this isn't exactly where I don't really feel comfortable doing it this way. That's the way that Houston looked to me on Saturday. I don't want to have to be doing it this way. It's too close for me. I wish we had some breathing room, but the way they play, I think it lends itself to a lot of close games.
Do we all agree, though, that this game will be nothing like the first game in terms of the Patriots just dominating? I don't know.
I think it could unfold the same way.
I brought
way.
The jacket out for a reason, Fred. I'm ready to dominate.
I mean, I think, depending on how the game starts, I think it could snowball for a bad day for the Texans. You know, they're saying all the right things right now. We didn't match the intensity last time, and we're playing intense football. We know what to... Well, last time you said it was the most important game in the history of your franchise. Why weren't you intense that day? And the intensity you had against the Bengals won't be enough in terms of meeting up with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots in their house. So they're saying the right things, but I think if they go down 7-10, I think it could snowball for a bad day again.
Well, I think the weather's going to be pretty mild
Beautiful.
For this time of year, so you can actually wear your letter jackets on Sunday.
That's right. We'll be strutting around the stadium.
All right.
What a sight. Whenever two teams play twice in such a short period of time, one of the things you have to keep an eye on is the changes that each one will make. And I think one thing I'm really going to keep an eye on in this one is the Patriots' passing game and the mentality of going down the field. I thought in the first game it was clear that Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels wanted to take some shots. They wanted to test the Texans' secondary deep down the field. I'm not sure if that was because of Jonathan Joseph and him coming back from injury, or Kareem Jackson and something they thought they could exploit, or if it was simply part of the game plan and something they wanted to do. That's going to be priority number one for me. How does Tom Brady attack this Texans secondary? Does he continue to look for the big play, or does he go back to the bread and butter? There's been a lot of talk this week about the Patriots getting off to a fast start and what that might mean to Houston mentally. They fell behind big early in the first one. They obviously don't want to do the same here. But I think it's equally important for the Patriots to stay with it if they don't get off to a quick start. Offensively, it hasn't been all great early in the games over the last month, month and a half. So even if it's a tight game or they fall behind early on, I think it's important for Josh McDaniels to stay with the run, stay with Stephen Ridley. They want to stay balanced. They don't want to put it all on Tom Brady, especially against a team that can get after the passer like Houston. That's been the formula for a loss in the past in the playoffs for New England. So stay balanced, stick with it, even if it's not working early. Been a lot of talk about the mental aspect of this game, and I'm going to stick with that theme here for my final point. A lot of comparisons to 2010 with the New York Jets. The Jets got buried 45-3 right here at Gillette Stadium on a Monday night in December, exactly the way Houston did just about 5 weeks ago. I don't really think there's any comparison beyond that. It happened. It happened then. It happened now. But these are two totally different situations. The Jets knew they could beat the Patriots. They had beaten them earlier in 2010. They beat them in 2009. Houston doesn't have that kind of confidence. The Jets left here that night in December still thinking they were the better football team. They thought they just played a bad game. Houston limped home. The Patriots just can't give them any life in this game. And I think that mental edge is a huge one.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I don't know. I don't know if my family's got onto that.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Images of the Week this week. No game last week, so I went into the archives and pulled out some of the all-time playoff photos. Remember this one, Troy Brown returning that kick against the Pittsburgh Steelers in 01? Here's Willie McGinnis in his record-setting sack game against the Jaguars. And finally, one of the most iconic pictures in Patriots history.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Here now in the Gillette Stadium locker room as the Patriots prepare to take on the Texans with running back Danny Woodhead. First of all, Danny, what do you think the team's mentality is coming out of the bye week heading into the postseason after that week off?
I mean, it's we got to get ready for the game. And that's the most important thing, is we have to prepare and you know, get into the game plan books and everything just like we always do. And that's the most important thing, is to do our job and approach this week like, you know, it's another game.
I know you're not exactly a grizzled old veteran, but you are kind of the veteran of the running back room. You've been in the postseason. Do you impart some of that experience on those guys, or try to talk to them anything about their, you know, postseason experience, whether it's their first year, second year, whatever?
I mean, if people have questions, I will. But I approach this week like I always do, and that's to work hard, know, you know, whatever I need to know going into the game, and just try to do my job to the best of my abilities. And like, if someone's going to ask, yeah, I'm going to say, hey, we got to go out there and play well. But I mean, we say that every week. It's a very important game, though.
When you talk to your family, do you get excited about football? I mean, are they super Patriots fans? Do they get excited about the postseason, the fact that you're playing in the postseason?
You know, the family's always excited about, you know, any game that I'm playing in. But they don't try to ask too many questions. They're just making sure, seeing how I'm doing, my wife's doing, and my daughter. So they're looking out for me.
It seems like when players are here for a while, they sort of learn the Patriot way and the Belichick way in terms of even dealing with the media and all that. Do families learn that? Do they learn that you're kind of working within the organization?
I don't know. I don't know if my family's caught on to that, but never know. Maybe they have. Maybe if you go out there and interview them, maybe they'd have the same responses.
So the Patriot way is alive and well in North Platte, Nebraska. Danny Woodhead, good luck this week. Thank you.
When the Patriots talk about a matchup with the Houston Texans, first and foremost for the defense, it's about Arian Foster, one of the best running backs in the NFL, led the league with 17 total touchdowns, 1,400 yards. Everything the Texans do on offense starts with Arian Foster. They want to establish the run, then get the play-action game going. That means Jerod Mayo, Brandon Spikes, Vince Wilfork. It's on you guys to get the job done early. From an offensive perspective, for Tom Brady and the Patriots, we know it's about J.J. Watt. You have to block the best defensive player in the NFL. But once you do that, it's about beating two pretty good corners. In Houston, there's a lot of confidence growing in Jonathan Joseph. He's healthy again, unlike the first meeting with the Patriots. And Kareem Jackson has a budding fan club in Texas. It'll be about beating those guys down the field. It's man coverage, pressure up front, Brady and company to make plays through the air. With all the stars in Houston, a guy that kind of gets lost in the mix is tight end Owen Daniels. He led the team with 6 touchdown receptions, 60 catches on the year. So while you're worried about Foster and Schaub and Andre Johnson on the outside, Patriots defense that struggled in the middle of the field at times in recent years has to deal with Owen Daniels, quietly one of the better pass-catching tight ends in football.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
So the rest of his team let him down. Your boy, Matt Schaub, was on the sideline peeing himself in his pants.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
If there's a team in the NFL that could and should play the they don't respect us card, it's the Atlanta Falcons. They wrapped up the division in like October. The road through New Orleans goes through Atlanta by way of their number one seed throughout the playoffs. Yet teams, you know, and people just don't believe in them. Why is that? Well, for one thing, they're pretty vanilla. They haven't really blown out any teams this year except for the Giants in that one game. You know, while they have a solid team, they don't have a lot of superstars. Even their coach's last name is Smith. But I'll tell you, in this NFL, I think that well-rounded vanilla team might go all the way.
The NFL playoff kicked off last weekend, and unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of interesting or even close games to follow. However, there was an opportunity, and I think it was lost with the very last game. Washington against Seattle, I thought, had all the makings of a very interesting matchup, and unfortunately, Robert Griffin III got hurt. And here's where I think the mistake was made. Mike Shanahan leaves this kid out there to play when he was clearly not physically ready to do so. He wasn't 100% going into the game. He was nowhere near 100% at the end of the game. All he had to do was make a choice that any head coach, it might be tough, but you have to make it. You have to take it out of the hands of the player. The player always wants to play, Mike. He doesn't deserve anything more than your best. And you didn't give it to him. You made him go out there and play. and consequently, you took away your team's chance to win.
For the second year in a row, Oregon head coach Chip Kelly has spurned the NFL. He flirted with Tampa Bay last year. Everybody thought it was a done deal. This year, the Browns were in the bag. Done deal. Except Kelly didn't come to the NFL. He stayed in college, and I give him credit. It's the right move. Now, maybe he's indecisive. Maybe he doesn't have the confidence. Maybe he's unsure of his success in the NFL. But in my opinion, stay in college, build your program, build your legend. It's a much better life. The NFL, you'll get hired to be fired. Stick with the Ducks.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The Houston Texans are back for the rematch. Which side of the ball concerns you most, offense or defense?
It's very simple. The two best players on the field Sunday will be Tom Brady and J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is the best defensive player in the National Football League this year. I don't know how you can't fear him. I know he didn't ruin the game the first time around, but he was trying. He looked like the only guy who was trying. I have very much fear of him just coming in and dominating the line of scrimmage, dominating the front, and dominating the game.
Yeah, listen, I have a lot of respect for Watt, but to me, if you're going to lose this game, it's going to be because of Houston's offense, not Houston's defense. I think the Texans would have to come in here and put up points, and they're capable of doing that. They just haven't done it lately. Now, the Patriots have to make sure they keep it that way, but they have a chance to be balanced with Arian Foster. They have Andre Johnson, who's as dangerous a receiver as there is in the league. They have a good tight end in Owen Daniels. And if Matt Schaub, listen,
I was going to say, you haven't gotten to the quarterback
yet. This all comes down to Matt Schaub. And listen, I know he's been under a lot of fire because, quite frankly, he hasn't gotten the job done. But he is capable of getting the job done. Now, you can argue, I don't think he's going to do it. But if Houston's going to win the game, he's going to have to play well.
Technically, I'm capable of running a 4-2-42. I couldn't do it today, and Matt Schaub can't beat the Patriots on Sunday.
Let me just tell you something right now. You're not capable.
You're
nor,
right, I'm
nor
not.
Were you ever capable
but my
of
point
running
is,
a 4
Matt Schaub is not capable of doing what that team needs to do. He proved it last week. He can't get the
so
team in the
end
zone.
He had a bad game last week. That proves that he can't do it.
He's had a bad game for about a month and a half.
Right.
He's not taking that offense where it needs to go. And I just don't see that changing in the postseason. The spot is too big for him. We talked about it. The body language is terrible. He's just not ready to do it. But that defense, they're getting healthy, and they're getting more productive. And that's all you need is you come in and you control the line of scrimmage. If J.J. Watt owns the line of scrimmage, we know Brady can be knocked off his spot. You get in his head a little bit. He starts to misfire a little bit. It can snowball. We've seen those days occasionally against Brady, and it starts with pressure and coverage. And that's what the Texans bring. They have the pressure in J.J. Watt and some of the blitzes up front, and they have coverage in the back end. I'm concerned.
Yeah, listen, I just have too much respect for the Patriots' offense that they're going to get shut down to that point. If Houston's going to win the game, it's going to be because Schaub plays well and they put points on the board. All the stuff that you're saying about the last month, four or five games, whatever it is true. Houston hasn't been able to do it. But this is one game. This isn't about what they have to do over the grand scheme of things here in the last, you know, six, seven games. They were 11-1. Obviously, they were scoring points well enough to win 11 out of 12 games at one point. They haven't been able to do those same things. But it's not like they can't do it. They have done it. And Matt Schaub has done it. He just hasn't done it against
the
Patriots.
He's never done it when the going gets tough.
And
he's
been,
unproven.
Listen,
J.J. Watt can score points.
Is he any worse than Joe Flacco?
J.J. Watt can score points, correct? We've seen him score in the postseason,
but you
right?
can't rely
We've
on
seen
your defense
strip sacks.
Scoring points. Come
We've
on.
Seen forced fumbles.
Yes, he's a great
how
player.
Well did
what
Joe
you said
Flacco,
about defensive player
wait,
of the year is true.
How well did Joe Flacco play the day that the Baltimore Ravens upset and dominated the Patriots here at Gillette Stadium? He was terrible. You don't need a quarterback
he didn't
to
do
play well.
In that.
Thank you. You don't need a quarterback to play well.
But he wasn't. He
if
just,
a defense
was a
dominates, if a guy comes off the edge, forces a strip sack, gives a short field, boom, 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 it can snowball. And that is
but
what
I'm worried about.
But
I'm not expecting Arian Foster to take the first play of the game 83 yards the way Ray Rice did that day.
That's
why they won. They ran the ball down the Patriots' throat. I don't think they can do that. I think it's going to have to be Schaub. And I think that Schaub is capable. I don't think he's any worse than Joe
capable,
Flacco.
Capable, you keep saying that until he proves it. He hasn't done it.
Well, I can't say they're going to do
Whereas
something that
J.J.
they haven't
Watt
done.
Has proven day after day after
not
day.
Not against the Patriots.
He's the best.
He didn't
yes,
prove
he did.
Could disrupt the Patriots.
I believe he was the only guy that showed up that day
he
and
played,
had any energy.
He played very well that night.
Okay,
but he
thank
didn't,
you.
But
so
he gave 42 points.
He has proven
No, he hasn't
so
proven
the rest
he could stop
of his
the Patriots'
team
offense.
Let him down.
Has he
Your
proven
boy,
he could stop the
Matt
Patriots
Schaub,
offense?
Was on the sideline peeing himself in his pants.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
Okay, it's playoff time, so let's get to your questions. This first one comes from Ken, who's in Conway, New Hampshire. He says, every year the Patriots have gone to the Super Bowl under Bill Belichick. They've had a good pass rush of over 40 sacks, but not this year. And he's wondering, do they have enough of a pass rush to go all the way?
I think that's one of the questions with this defense. If you look at the last game when they had 7 sacks, that certainly looked pretty good. And I think the real bright spot in that area is Chandler Jones, who, even though he wasn't real active in terms of recording sacks in the finale, the last 2 weeks I thought he looked more like his early season self. Little athleticism, little jump in his step. And if you get Ninkovich out there this week and you've added in now Justin Francis, you've added in Brandon Dederick, you've added in Jermaine Cunningham back from the suspension, I think they have good depth. And I think if you can roll a lot of those guys out there, you have a chance to have some real active pass rushers late in the game. You don't have the elite guys. Maybe you have enough guys with bodies that can help you.
And what we saw in the last game was a lot of those sacks were coverage sacks.
Sure.
So if, you know, Dennard can come back and Tlaib can come back, they'll help out that pass.
The better the coverage, the better the pressure.
All right. Robbie Joshi writes in. He wants to know if the Patriots are playing with a chip on their shoulder. He says he remembers in 01 they kind of had that everyone disrespects us thing going, and he doesn't think that maybe the Patriots are as hungry as maybe the Broncos, for example.
Well, you know, I disagree with that. I think the Patriots are very hungry. I don't think they've won a title since 2004, and they remember that. And, you know, just because they've been very successful in that time period doesn't mean a guy like Tom Brady is content now. He wants to win titles every year. And by the way, there's a lot of other key elements to this team that haven't won Super Bowls yet. You know, a lot of big players, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, Logan Mankins, Gerard Mayo. I mean, the list goes on and on. They're very important players who weren't with Brady way back when they were winning those titles. So I think this team is very hungry. It's hard to play the disrespect card when, quite frankly, there isn't anybody left who disrespects you. You know, I mean, you know, this Houston game, they're 10-point favorites. 10-point favorites in the divisional round against a team that had the same record as they did. So it's kind of hard to play that chip on your shoulder when everybody sort of thinks you're the best team in the league.
You know how Willie McGinnis said it. You say we're the favorites, but you don't really mean it.
All right, that's your questions this week. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.